Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's so beautiful outside. This is Dr. Cupertino speaking to you for the Dr. Cupertino Show. Good morning again. I can't say it enough. It's going to be a good morning. You know why? Because you tuned in for wisdom. You tuned in for knowledge. And most of all, you tuned in to find out how you can become a footman to the rescue, living for the sake of others. You can't go wrong when you learn how to live for the sake of others. Now, some might say, oh, you know, I've been doing good all my life. I've been talking to people about great things and helping them and making sure every man, woman, and child that I meet, you know, I meet them with a smile, and I try to do all I can to make sure that the good I do today extends over. You might feel that way, but when you live for the sake of others, it's a little bit more than that. So today, this morning, Saturday, March 16th, I want you to listen in and learn how you can become a footman to the rescue in the lives of others. You know, many, they're lonely, you know, they're sad, and are elderly or older, you know, they're infirm. Some of them are just living fixed income amount, and doing that, living like that, they don't have any hope for tomorrow. Well, many just need a listening ear. They need a hand to hold, and from their heart, they need understanding. So, from your home computer to your neighborhood corner to you sitting on your porch, I mean, there is so many ways that you can help others. And they're out there waiting. They're out there waiting to hear from you. They're waiting to see you in action. Show that you care and that you love others. Now, since I've already mentioned, there's quite a few that need assistance and wisdom for living. You know, this is a worthy opportunity for you. And we're going to have several guests. I hope call in. I tell you all the time, just call in to area code 516-595-8247. You can speak with myself. I'm Marcia, Dr. Cupertino. And also, you know, we've been having our station graced by Colonel William Harrison, a great man at a great time. And for a great mission such as this. So, footman to the rescue, well, what is that about? How can I become a footman to the rescue so that I can really learn how to live for others? You know, I'm living for the sake of myself, but now it's not about me, it's about others. So, Colonel Harrison, I see you checked in. Are you with us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cupertino. I'm with you and your listening audience this morning. Thanks for inviting me again, and I hope all is well with you and the listening audience.
Well, it better be. You know what? I'm not 6 feet down. I'm 6 feet up. So, of course, it is very good. Very good. It gives me one more day to do some good. Gives me one more day. Well, I hope one more day to live for the sake of others. It also gives me an opportunity to get myself better so that I can stay on course to be the footman to the rescue that our higher power, our creator, would have. Now, as I mentioned earlier, people are sad. They're broke. They're busted. They are disgusted. They are scared about what is going on in the world. Every day, it seems to be something. Every day, there seems to be an evil report. Every day, it seems to be someone that's being either having their life snuffed out or being killed, which might actually be the same. I mean, it's so many things that men and women can fear. But now this program, Footmen to the Rescue, I understand it's part of a program that the organization, the International Platform for Peace, USA Division, I understand there's two divisions here, but this organization that you're heading, and I say that because I see here that you are the International Platform Minister, presiding minister, and you're also the Speaker of the Floor, which means that most of everything, I guess, that comes through that portal, you have to say so, either yes or no about it. That's exciting. It's wonderful. I think we should have many of these program projects going on in America and, of course, you know, worldwide. But now this Whitman to the Rescue, it is a program, according to what the website says, that is put into effect to almost go door to door, phone to phone, from computer to computer, all around the world. Can you talk to us a little bit about the International Platform for Peace?
Yes, the Platform for Peace, Dr. Capitino, listening audience, as you're aware, Doc, intimately aware, it's an organization to advocate for peace, faith, and family. And if we ever needed peace, not only in our communities, not only within our families and our communities, our jobs, and our counties and towns and states and country, but we need it worldwide because the absence of peace is chaos. And so there's seem to be a faction in the world that's trying to advocate violence. And we must understand that peace is important not only to us during our life, during our day, during our time, but peace is important for our, those of us who have children and grandchildren and generations yet unborn. And so the essence of peace is to strengthen the family. Once we strengthen the family, family can be strengthened through faith. And so the Footman to the Rescue is epitome of a ground movement that will mobilize people, mobilize communities, and mobilize elected officials to get aboard to help maintain the stability of this country. Wars have been fought in the past so that this country could remain free. That's why people on the outside who are not from this country still trying to come into this country because they realize this country is still the home of the brave and the land of the free. And I'll just pause for a moment.
Oh, my God, you have jumped in here with both guns cocked. Oh, my God, you know, my blood was boiling as I was hearing you speak because you are right on target. And, you know, you mentioned the elected officials. This program, Footmen to the Rescue, is something that our elected officials, it will and is welcoming with open arms. And that's because they only have two eyes just like we. So the community at best has to be their eyes and ears, because they're elected to oversee communities. So those people in the community that are suffering, that don't have all they need, that has bad medical issues, of course, our city officials is very concerned about that. And we welcome that. But they are expecting us as community citizens, community leaders, community advocates to get out of the door and help make things happen that are good for the community. They can't go door to door. They can't peep in every window in the neighborhood to find out what is going on, but we can. They can get on the phone and conduct surveys, but we can as community residents. They can't go around interviewing people 24/7 to find out exactly what the needs are, because some of them, although they might live in the community, they're not out there doing that type of work because that's not what they're elected to do. So Footmen to the Rescue is in operations to help band together as community leaders and citizens and help ourselves. Help ourselves. We can't always lay around, have drunk, have doped up, and blame our community, our elected community officials, for everything that is going on from the nook to the cranny. It's time for us to get up and get out. And that's what the Footmen to the Rescue is. Now, I understand from reading your website and the comments about the Footmen to the Rescue, many people are asking, well, if I get involved in a program such as this, do I have to go outside my door, stand on the corner like Jehovah's Witnesses? Do I have to go and start knocking on doors, not knowing what's going to happen? Yes, you do, but let's take this thing to another level. I understand from the website, and that website is IP4Peace.org. I understand from that website can do sitting at home on their couch, laying in their bed, in a chair, they can actually tune in via their computer to speak to friends, their Facebook friends, relatives, their Twitter friends, all those hanging around Instagram. Hey, my goodness. So anyone can actually do this. Now, whoever's on the call, Chipling and Chuckling, please stop because you're interfering with the broadcast. Every time there's a movement that's not vocal, something happens here on the screen. Please stop shape-shifting and shuffling, whoever you might be. So Colonel Harrison, Dr. Harrison, Reverend Harrison, where's the name? So with that in mind, that means everyone that has sight, some that might can, I don't know how their computer terminal is hooked up, but anyone interested in others can become a footman to the rescue. And this means women, you know. There are some scriptures that say the ones telling the good news is a large army. And, of course, that encompasses women. So with that being in mind, someone might say, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm interested. I'm going to help as much as I can. What can I do? Well, there are also some that might say, well, what kind of benefits are there? You know, what am I going to get? If I'm using my electricity, I'm at home, you know, I have to pay my rent, my mortgage. I'm sitting, I want to help, you know, my heart is bleeding for others. What might be some of the benefits for those that are thinking about coming on board, as per the website, to become trained as a footman to the rescue?
I can think of three benefits, Doc.
Great.
Opportunity worldwide travel as an ambassador, a captain, and a partner. Advocating footmen to the rescue. The next is they will receive certification and credentials identifying them as an international platform for peace advocate, and the board qualifications on the website. I'm sure you'll give that before we close out. And the third would be an opportunity to not only to travel, but to meet with heads of state and people of foreign government to talk to them about our initiative and our platform and the components that we use to advocate for peace that are proven and that work. So those are the three that come to mind off the top of my head that I encourage for commitment, because if we ever need it to move forward, we need to move forward now and advocate for peace, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today, to get involved in this initiative, Doc. Pause.
Oh, my God. You are a heavy hitter this morning for sure. You're right on target. Yes. Not tomorrow, not talking about what you did yesterday, but right now is today. And so this is why tomorrow night we have seen on your website where there's a scheduled conversation for those that are interested in becoming a footman to the rescue for others. We actually have a program starting at, I believe, it's 6 p.m. tomorrow. 6 p.m. to 7, and if they go to the website, IP show the call letters. It's going to show the actual phone number for those that want to get involved and that do not shrink back. There's a lot of people that say, you know, things are bad, and I don't know if they're going to get any better. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle things. Well, hey, I tell you what. Go to www. Now, I could give you the call letters, but I think it's best if you go to the website, you poke around, you look around at some of the other great things that the organization has done. But go to www.itforpeace.org, and you'll get the call numbers so that you can actually call in and be a part of the show. Dr. Harrison will be back on the show. I'll be on the show. Other platform personnel will be on the show. And they will give you a little bit more of in-depth information on how you can become a footman to the rescue. You can become a footman to the rescue while living for the sake of others from your home. You can become a footman to the rescue from the street corner. You can talk to mama and daddy all day and all night. You're a footman. And like our Colonel Harrison stated, you know, there's a certification process that can be done via conference call. There's also a wonderful certificate to the rescue pin. I was looking at some of those pin samples on yesterday, and I can tell you they're very beautiful, very, very beautiful. And all throughout history, when things got bad and things got to a point where the officials, law enforcement could not do any good, people took to the street as community leaders and activists to say, hold up, wait a minute. You don't have to kill each other. You don't have to think about killing yourself. Here's a program that I want you to get involved in. And, you know, this is really not a program, according to the website. This is a movement. We're just not sitting. I'm on the West Coast. Colonel Harrison's on the East Coast. We're just not sitting here talking about coastal or bi-coastal activities. We're talking about getting started right where we're at so that we can make an impact right where we're at. And, of course, if it's a good one, that impact of what we're doing is going to spread nationwide, worldwide. So please, tomorrow evening, March 17th, starting at 6, it's going to be an hour show, and you're going to, not an hour show per se, but an hour seminar show conference by which you will learn some of the steps and ways and things that you can become a sweatman. You can put your checkbook aside. You can put your credit card back in your wallet or purse. This isn't about money. This is not a bag out. It's not a bag in. It's an opportunity for you to say, you know, I've gotten what I need out of life. I've become great doing what I'd love to do in life. Now it's time, whether it's the twilight of your life or not, now it is time to do something that will make my parents proud of me, deceased or alive, that will show that I really do care about being my brother's keeper. Now, you have a book, Colonel Harrison. That book has been in, I guess, circulation for a few years now. Now, I know when you wrote that book, things were not as bad worldwide as they are today. When you wrote that book, you were giving the answer to chaos. You can explain a little bit more about that in a minute. But you were writing because things were bad then. I believe your book came into circulation somewhere around 2012. Oh, my God. Here it is 2019. You've had a second edition out there. Do you think that your book was written for a time such as back then, or do you think that book was written to slide right into what is going on now? And by the way, all footmen, I am, yes, I will, we'll get a free copy of your book, $19.95 on Amazon.com. But right now, and we'll speak more about this tomorrow, we can get them a copy. But back to the question I'm trying to put out there on the table. Do you think you wrote that book for 2012 or for 2019? Give us a little bit of insight on that.
Certainly, Dr. Capitina. The book was written as a result of a revelation I received that things were going to become chaotic in the country. And it was a spiritual revelation that I received. And we were on the brink of disorder coming about, where there was disorder in communities, and there was strained relationships between the police and certain members of communities and races of community and so forth and so on. And as a result of the revelation, it has come to pass, because the escalation of violence, and it's not international violence, it's really local violence and terror that's occurring within our own communities, and people turn against people, and crime is one thing, but to turn against another faction of people is another, because of the different race, creed, persuasion, ideology. So the book started out giving a foundation of peace, the importance of peace, and talks about Mahatma Gandhi. It leads up to Dr. King, and it leads up to the present era. But we, as a people, which the Constitution addresses, have to mobilize again or remobilize to take back our communities, to have respect for one another and care for one another and uplift each other. We are a brother's keeper. Together we stand, divided we fall. Our ancestors may have come to American shores on different ships, But today we're in the same boat together. So either we coexist together or we will perish together. And so the book has the essence of that in that brief synopsis I've just given, Doc.
Yes, someone had some kind of a program. I guess on your phone I was hearing about steaks. Did you hear that, Colonel?
Yes, I heard it clicking, Doc. I heard the click.
Yeah,
it was a distraction.
Yes, it most certainly was. But now you struck a nerve there. And I really appreciate you on this show this morning because you are just very insightful. You're always insightful. But I'm just hearing some great, great things that is coming out of your mouth. Now, let's talk about the statement that you just made. And it might border on politics. I'm going to ask you this as a great man that we all know you are. What role do you think politics has played in some of the chaos that we're actually going through? Because now, remember, we're going to leave the elected city officials out of this. They're doing a great job. They're doing everything they can. From my supervisors here, with Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, he's going out, of course, you know, and he's being turned out. We just love him here. But what role has politics played in chaos that we now see? I mean, can we say that politics is part of the problem in bringing people together?
Yes, politics is part of the problem, Doc. We, in the society, unfortunately, have embarked upon an era that's called political correctness. Political correctness cannot hold the standard compared to moral correctness. And so we have to make sure that we all stand for the moral law and not what is politically correct, because politics change from day to day. Politicians change from one year to another, but the moral law stands forever. And moral law has justice, it has mercy, it has compassion, it has equality, it has temperance, it has all those things. And so we've gone off on this political correctness thing because it sounds good, or I'll just, if I'm a politician, or what the people want rather than what is morally correct. And so politics has kind of led us in the wrong direction, wherein it has helped enhance the chaos that has come about the land in the United States and certain states and certain factions.
Well, you know, that's certainly true. But I've also heard that politics 100 years ago, 50 years ago, even 25 years ago, is not what it's all carved up to be. And that's because most politicians say people have changed. When a politician drove down the street, walked down the street, was seen in a bank, you know, he was honored, he was revered. Now when they show up at any meeting or at some kind of a political rally, they are disgruntled on. People disrespect them. They holler out above them speaking, and they're showing that they really don't have any honor or respect for the politicians. So if they don't have the honor and respect for the politicians, they're really not going to care about anything they say. So when they finally get a chance or opportunity to speak, then, of course, they're not met with all that vigor and vomp that they were in the past. Do you think people's attitude toward politicians is what is trying to render them ineffective outside of their own office?
Yes, the attitude toward politicians have changed because of what you just stated, Doc, and as a result of the mores of society, or the ways of society and the people in society changing. People want to be assured that they will have an opportunity to have free access to social services programs, medical programs, employment, education, those kinds of things. And when we start differentiating between people and making certain opportunities accessible to some and doors closed to other, then we end up with a divided country, a divided community, a divided people, and that's what's happening within the United States today. I'm being a native-born American, I'm appalled at the fact that the majority of the people in this country, all people in this country except the Native American Indian, are foreigners. Every person, their ancestors, came to the shore, were foreigners. The only natural or national people that are of this country are the American Indians. So that tells me that we need to galvanize and we need to come together. And so the American Indians, unfortunately, they're on reservations. But we can't put people on reservations, can't put them on islands. We got to unite together. We got to live together. We got to uplift each other. We got to help each other. And if we don't, then chaos will continue to be the order of the day, and we will never be able to achieve peace. And if I don't have peace in your neighbor, I'm going to see that you don't have peace either. If I'm happy and I'm your neighbor, I'm going to try and do my best to see that you and your family are happy as well.
Yeah, you know, wow. I said you're on fire this morning. My goodness. I was dozing, kind of sleepy, but oops. Your comments are actually waking me up. Right, that's very true. This is why, you know, our advocacy here in L.A. is that if I don't help you down in the trenches and I don't help you out of there, sooner or later, you're going to pull me over into the trenches. So I believe in that wholeheartedly, and this is why the Footman to the Rescue Program Project is not just something that we're advocating, you know, once a week or maybe twice a month. This is something that we're advocating, putting out there in effect as a movement, not just something that's going to happen one day and then tomorrow, you know, we're shut down as an organization. Footman to the Rescue. I mean, if you're 8 years old, you can become a footman to the rescue. Now, you might can't do what an adult do, but you can, of course, talk with your family, your neighbors, children at school about what it means to help one another. Because right now, in some of our school systems around the nation, you can't even talk about the Bible, Jesus Christ, Allah. You can't. You'd probably have a better chance of speaking about Allah than you would Jesus Christ, but this is something that is hurling all over across the nation. But no one can stop you from talking about doing good to someone. You don't have to mention the name of a God or creator God. That will come about. You can get around it. You cannot get around it. Parliament said you better not try to get around it. So anyone, 8 years old, two years old can go around hugging people. You know, I don't know how good that is, but it's worth a try. A smile is the first step toward peace. Mahatma Gandhi said that. A smile is the first step toward peace. Mother Teresa had similar quotes. A smile is the first step toward peace. So that means at any age, rescue them out of depression. Rescue someone out of an attempted suicide. Rescue someone out of running away from home. There's so many things you can do. Colonel Harrison, it's been a joy having you on the show again today. I see we've had over 120 segments starting from last year on, and you've been on the show for most of those shows. Thank you so much. Footman to the Rescue. Don't forget to go to the website, www.ip4peace, and get the call number and then also the access code, so that you can be on the phone from the privacy of your own home tomorrow at Sunday, March 17th, 6 p.m., so you can learn more about the Footman to the Rescue program. You can even sign up tomorrow if you're interested for the training. God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Thank you again, Colonel Harrison. We're going to make sure people know about your book. You can talk more about that tomorrow. You have more time. God bless you. Thank you. See you next Saturday if we don't hear from you tomorrow evening on the Dr. Cappuccino Show for next Saturday, 8 a.m. Have a great weekend.